Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, oh, yeah, nah.
Good morning, and welcome to another show about human design. This is Peter Rowe from loveyourhumandesign.com, and I'm happy that you're back here again on, at least in New England, this rainy Saturday morning. Human design just is really, for me, one of those things that just brightens up my life because it really touches us every day, every minute. Today we're going to be talking about the 5-1 profile. Again, a profile is a personality attribute that is part of your design. And there's 12 different profiles that you could have. 5-1 is one of them that is a substantial group of the population has the 5-1. I don't know the exact percentage off the top of my head. Maybe I want to say maybe about 12%. But anyway, the 5-1 is a part of your personality. It's part of your expression. And my daughter is leaving for Japan for 4 or 5 months this afternoon, and she isn't a 5-1, but she has that fifth line, and with all the emotions and projected expectations and all that that's wrapped into it. We've had a good dose of the fifth line, so I think I have some stories to share on that. But before I go into that, I want to introduce my co-host, Reverend Rick. Reverend Rick, you just changed your website, so I'm going to let you pass that on because I don't think I have it quite down. Welcome to the show, Rev.
Well, I thank you very much, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here. It always is. I'm getting to the point where I'm having a new website there. But people can reach me through both websites. It's revrick.webs.com. That's revrick.webs.com. Or you can go to revrickreadings.webs.com. And that second one is where I'm going to be posting and advertising other events like my discussion groups and training classes and things like that. So thank you very much, Peter.
Oh, you're welcome, and that's exciting that you've got new stuff going on in human design land. And today's an especially special show for Reverend Rick because Reverend Rick is a 5-1 profile. So we are going to be hearing, you know, specifically about his life experiences and his perception of the 5-1 profile from someone that has gone deep into human design, you know, 2 or 3 years into human design experience, and, you know, with a vast array of knowledge. So that's going to be very exciting. We also have three guests that will be on the second half of the show. And I want to point you right now to my website, loveyourhumandesign.com. And if you're at a computer, you probably want to go there to loveyourhumandesign.com. And from the homepage there, on the right-hand side, there's Peter's blog. It's I don't know, 6 or 7 items down there. And if you click on that, there's an article right at the top on the profile 5-1. You want to click on that. And the reason being is that there's 4 charts out there, Rev Rick and the 3 other guests that we're going to have on. And so you can follow along and you can see the different designs, that come with the 5-1 profile, as well as, first I want to talk about what are profiles. And as I mentioned before, profiles are a personality attribute, an expression, a flavoring of how all of the aspects in your design are expressed. We talk about different attributes, maybe center attributes, about the identity center and whether it's defined or undefined, about the throat, whether you have a motorized throat and have energy to speak or not. Any of those other things that you have, correction, shock, they're going to be flavored by this profile. in how they come out. And the profile is just an overall flavoring. It's an overall driving force in all of your expression. And so with that being said, Reverend Rick, maybe you can give people an idea of how do you get your profile?
All right. Well, when you, for those of you on the computer and you can see the charts that Peter was referring to, or if you have your own individual chart in front of you, when you look at the list of numbers, there's a column of red numbers and a column of black numbers. And in between them are the symbols, the planetary symbols, the astrological symbols. The very first symbol is a circle with a dot in it. That represents the sun. And the one right below it is a circle with a plus in it that represents the Earth. If you'll notice, the numbers on the black column, the black numbers there, all these numbers, and depending on where you get your chart from, you'll either see that you have a whole number and a decimal part, or you'll have a whole number and what looks like an exponent, a little raised number. The whole number that you see there, that represents the gate that gets activated by the sun or by the Earth on the personality side, that's the black numbers, or on the design side, which is the red numbers. The smaller number that represents the exponent or the number after the decimal point, that represents the further breakdown of the gate into a specific type of energetic expression known as a line. The line that you see in the personality sun, followed by the line that you see activated in the design sun, is what makes up your profile. And you can see in each one of these charts that are on the website here, the little exponent on the sun and earth on the personality side is a 5. And when we go to the other side, the red column, the design column, the little exponent there is a 1. So each one of the charts there represents a 5-1 profile. And each one of those lines also carries with it a specific name or a keyword, if you will. So the 5-1 is known as the heretic investigator. And Peter, I'm going to let you talk about the names a little bit.
Okay. Well, we've got the heretic investigator. And again, some people may not have such a positive reaction when they see, I don't want to be a heretic or I don't want to be an investigator. These words are kind of loaded, and they bring a shock value, as we've said before. Ra Aruhu, who brought the system forward, some of the terminology he used has a shock value because that's in his design. But there is some real truth to being the heretic or being the investigator. And before we really go specifically into the two attributes, the 5-1, I want to take a little step back. And first, you get two lines. There's 6 lines in the I Ching design, and the lines are 1 through 6. And for the most parts, when planets are rotating around, they will come into a gate and come into gate line 1, and then line 2, line 3, line 4, line 5, line 6. But as you start to get to understand design, then there are occasions when the planets are moving backwards, and hence you may have heard planet is going retrograde, and so they may move forward in the gates, and then they may have a period where, because of the different geometric angles, they move backward before they then again move forward. But the profile, everybody gets 2 lines. There's the first line, which is coming from the personality side, which is a conscious, often called a conscious level. And then you get your second line. And so in the case of today, we're talking about the 5 being in the conscious, the 1 being in the unconscious, the 5 being in the lead, and the 1 sort of trailing behind, being sort of behind the curtain, not so much out front. And I wanted to sort of talk, if people have been following along in our profile series, we've gone sort of through a rotation, and we talked about the 1-3, the 2-4, the 3-5, and the 4-6. And all of those designs, the first number is lower. And because of that, another term that's wrapped around that is they're called a right angle. And we're moving into the left angle profiles. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that. But before we talk about right and left angle, I think it makes sense to talk about the upper and lower trigrams, the gates 1 through 3 and 4 through 6. So, Ricardo, can you just explain about that orientation aspect of the 1 through 3 versus the 4 through 6?
Sure. For anybody out there who's actually seen their entire human design chart, because really what we talk about when we do readings for people is really we show them the body graph, which is the center of their entire chart. The entire chart has several circles around this body graph that we look at here on the website, and it's known as the mandala. The outer ring around surrounding the entire mandala is made up of a series of six lines, some broken, some solid. Those lines represent the 64 hexagrams of the I Ching. The bottom three lines of those hexagrams represent the first trigram or the lower trigram. The upper three lines represent the upper trigrams. In human design terms, they correlate. The lower trigram correlates to the lines 1, 2, and 3. The upper trigram correlates to the lines 4, 5, and 6. Now, what that represents in terms of an energetic expression is anything that's in the lower trigram represents your inner environment, what I like to refer to as inside your skin. It's all about you. It's all about the individual. It's all about your own personal experiences. How does this affect me? How does this impact me? How can this direct me? You know, that kind of stuff. How can I use this to help me understand my environment? The upper trigram, lines 4, 5, and 6, are all about the outer environment. Or in other words, another way of looking at that is your relationship to others. So the lower trigram could be your relationship to yourself. The upper trigram would then be your relationship to others. And so lines 4, 5, and 6 have an outward environmental type of connection or a type of energy. And let's see, you want me to go a little deeper into the individual lines or just let it go there?
Let's let it go there because we'll really dive into the 5-1.
Okay.
Because the point I'm trying to draw here is that so far we've talked about those profiles where the lower number is coming first, and in every case except for maybe the 4-6, what you have is you have an inward focus carrying the lead. Remember I said that first number is out front, is more of your personality. And so that out front personality attribute or flavoring has an inward focus. And then the behind the scenes, again, I'm talking about the 1-3, the 2-4, the 5-6, I mean the 2-4, the 3-5, and the 4-6 that we've talked about. It has a little more out front. The out front is inwardly focused. And the behind the scenes, the second line of your profile, is outwardly focused, is looking out, is the outerness, outer you, is looking out at people, is more outwardly focused. And those are called right angle. In fact, if you look down at your incarnation cross on the keynotes, if you were one of those profiles I mentioned, you're a right angle. And now we're turning the corner. Now we've moved into the left angle. Because here we have, to the case of today, the 5-1, the 5 is leading the way. The 5 is an outwardly looking line. The 5 is looking at others. So your outward personality is looking out at others. And the behind the scenes is looking in. And so it's a very different it's very different focus, and it's a very different reality, in a sense, or a very different reason why you're here. Ricardo, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I also wanted to mention that in terms of looking at the number that's in front versus the number, I like your expression there, behind the curtain, one of the things that typically happens with that is the number that's out front, that's representative of your personality. You know, it's energy that you are aware of. You are consciously aware of this energy in yourself, whether you know anything else about human design or not. When somebody looks at a profile and says, oh, well, this represents this, 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 and this, usually people will turn around and say, yeah, I recognize that. I associate with those labels. That makes sense to me. The number behind the curtain, though, and that's a really good way of phrasing it, is it's not necessarily unconscious or subconscious, as a lot of people say. It's really an innocent expression. It's energy that's there. You may or may not be aware of it. If you're not aware of it, it's not a bad thing. It's not a detriment or anything like that. It just means that this is energy that's going to find its way of getting expressed, whether you're aware of it or not. If you are aware of it, then even better, you know another aspect of yourself that is generally hidden to others. You know, most people don't really spend that much time looking at their inner selves too much. But that design line is always there. It's always getting expressed, sometimes in ways that we're never even aware of until somebody else points it out to us. But in that sense, once they point it out to us, we are aware of it, and so therefore it can't be subconscious or unconscious because now we are consciously aware of it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I think another term we could talk about, the unconscious energies, and today we're focused on this profile and in the first line profile here, is I think it tends to be more subtle. It tends to, you know, as you said, may or may not be expressed, and I think that consistency of expression may be less consistent or less obvious anyway than the first profile line that you have in your profile. In
right.
This case, today, the five. The five being very out front, out in the open. But so let's dig into the fifth line. Ricardo, I mean, you're a 5-1, and so I think if anybody's going to understand the 5, it's probably a fifth line. It really resonates with the 5. And I have to say, I'm gonna preface this before we go in. I sort of had an epiphany over the last couple of days in dealing with my daughter. For me, the fifth line has always been the hardest line to explain in human design. And I think it's very appropriate that is so, because I think it's hard to truly know what it's about. So, Ricardo, take us through that.
Okay. And actually, it's interesting that you would say that, because that's pretty much the email that I sent you earlier in the week saying, you know, this fifth line is it's kind of hard to talk about that.
And that was part of my epiphany. In conjunction with my daughter as well, experiences
yeah.
with her.
Yeah, you know, it's really easy to live, and when you start talking about the aspects of the fifth line, it makes sense. But when you try to describe to somebody what it's like, you know, it just kind of escapes you a little bit. So let's take a look at it from the viewpoint of, okay, why is it called the heretic? The heretic, when you think of a heretic, generally you think of somebody who's going against the grain, somebody who's not going with the flow. In other words, somebody who has his or her own ideas about how things should be, and they're pursuing those ideas, and they're telling people about it, and they're taking steps to, you know, implement what they think needs to be implemented. And it's just going against the norm. It's not the same stuff that everyone's used to. And so they're branded the heretic. It's somebody who's just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. In reality, they are doing what they're supposed to be doing. What really is happening is the fifth line profile is a very seductive type of energy. It's a feel-good energy. It's an energy that says, when you get to know me, you'll get to know me deeply. But what you get to know of me is going to be very guarded. So I'm only going to show you what I think you're really ready to handle. Now, that's not a conscious choice. That's just an energetic expression. For many fifth-line profiles, let's say you go out to a social event. Well, if you're going to a social event, chances are you have something in common with somebody else who's there. That's a starting point for getting to know someone. What ends up happening with the fifth line profile, though, is the other people will look at you, take that foundation for getting to know you, and establish an entire persona around you based on that one little piece of commonality. Later on, they may see you again at another social event and see you as, you know, a totally different aspect of you. And they'll look at you and think, who the hell are you? You know, you're not who I thought you were at all. And meanwhile, yes, you are who, you know, you haven't changed who you are. You're just adapting to your environment. You're putting out the energy that you need to put out in order to get the support that you need. You know, all this kind of stuff is all happening all at once. But the projection that people put on you as a fifth-line profile is based on very limited information. And so when that information needs to be adjusted or in some cases even thrown out, then they kind of look at you as the heretic because they feel like you're not who I thought you were at all. Now, why would I say all that? Well, the aspect of putting out the energy that we think would most attract what we need to support us, that's not a conscious effort. That's something that a lot of fifth-line profiles do. It may be the part of the personality, and it may be energy that we're consciously aware of, but to us it just feels like we're just adapting to our environment. We're just fitting in, quote-unquote, with where we need to be. What ends up happening, however, is energetically a fifth line, and there's another aspect of the fifth line that we haven't really talked much about, Peter, and I'm going to bring that out now. Fifth lines tend to be the mature expression of an energetic theme. So in other words, I'm going to use the gate of provocation and say somebody who has the gate of provocation activated in their chart, which is gate 39, and if anyone's looking, if it's activated in line 5, what that means is this is the mature expression, or it's also called the universalization of that kind of energy. So what does that mean? That means that instead of just pushing people's buttons and provoking them into action or provoking them into anything else, we may find the ways necessary to push them without necessarily having them feel pushed. Does that make sense? We can prod somebody. We know how to read the energy. We understand the energetic connections. And again, this is not consciously. This is not somebody who's gone and studied energetic manipulation or anything like that. This is just the expression of the fifth line. It carries with it the innate ability to understand another's energy and know how to work with it. And so for the gate of provocation, a fifth line could sit there and determine, well, if I kind of prod this person this way, it'll spur them into looking this up or looking that up or maybe going over here or going over there or talking to that individual. And so we've used the energy of provocation, but not necessarily in a negative sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it gives me the image of the guy at the back of the boat that's pulling it down the river and knows where to push and to prod, maybe even to communicate with the passengers on the boat. You know, okay, everybody move to the right side to, you know, without a forcing it, you know, guiding it down the river.
Yeah, and it's not something that. It's not something that a fifth line chooses to do. There's no real conscious choice here. It's just this is the energetic expression that comes out. When and I got to be very clear here, when you're living your strategy, when you're living your design, any gate that you have in your design that has a fifth line attached to it is a gate that you can utilize the almost the highest expression of the energy of that gate. It's a learning experience that you go through, and you get to the point where, after being branded the heretic a few times, you actually learn how to live in the flow with that energy so that it benefits both you and those around you. Because remember, it does carry that outer environment type of connection.
And I would add, it's projected energy. So projected energy is all about the other. It's about the people that you're going to interact in. And and again, the 5-1 in particular has an orientation towards dealing with others. So anybody with this profile is a significant part of your life, whether your type is projector or generator or manifestor or reflector or manifesting generator. Whether it doesn't matter about your type, this. The fact that you have a 5-1 profile, a significant part of your life is going to be dealing with others. It's just the orientation of this profile.
Yep. And actually, you bring out a good point there, Peter, and this is really true of all profiles, regardless of what they are. But the profile itself is a thematic expression of the energy. It's not something that happens just once or twice. It's thematic. It's a theme that reoccurs throughout your entire life. So it does follow you. It does follow you around.
And I will say, Ricardo was talking about if you have fifth lines in specific gates, as you look through your design, the gate numbers that we were talking about earlier, the red and black numbers going down, if that exponent is a 5, you'll have that attribute. But as a 5-1, having that in your profile, the fact that it's in your profile is also going to flavor any of those energies with the potential of expressing the 5 in that particular gate energy. So if you have correction, gate 18, then you're going to have, even if it's in line 1 on your chart, you're also going to have a flavoring of it being a mature, this fifth line, utilizing the mature correction as opposed to just the 1. There will be a flavoring there of this aspect of the profile. Another point I wanted to talk about, with the fifth line being projected, one of the images I get is the House of Mirrors. And, I think that there is this sense, people that aren't fifth lines that are trying to get to know fifth lines, and the fifth lines themselves, there is this sense that you're not always, you don't always see the same thing. As Ricardo was talking earlier, there is a guarded aspect of the fifth line that's not going to present its full face in the mirror, its whole body in the mirror. So you get a glimpse of the image, or you get a sideways image profile. It's one of these House of Mirrors. Who's the real person, and what's the reflection? Or what piece of the reflection am I seeing? So there's this, in a way, there's this undefinedness or this lack of foundation that can occur both for the people that know the fifth line and for the fifth line person themselves.
And actually, even for the people, like you just said, the people that know the fifth lines, one of the things that happens with fifth lines is others who know, and I'm going to use myself as an example here, I'm a fifth line, and even people who know me still don't know all of me. They are constantly, I've got friends that have known me since I was 5 years old, and they are still learning new things about me because it was just never something that came up while we were together. It was never an aspect of my life that appeared in front of them for them to see. And yet, now that we still get together every now and then, and they'll see me in a different environment, and suddenly they realize, oh, wow, there's another aspect, yet another aspect of him. So it's really a matter of not just seeing all the different reflections in the House of Mirrors, it's getting past that reflection to what's causing the reflection. Because there's always another layer, there's always another aspect, there's always another side. It's kind of like looking at pictures of precisely cut diamonds or something like that. You know, there's always that tiniest little facet there that if you turn the diamond just the right way, the light glints off of it and you can finally see it. But until that happens, it's invisible to your eye. You know, and that's what being a fifth line profile is all about. There are so many different layers and so many different levels, and you can't possibly show them all, you know, all the time. So what escapes, what gets put out there, what gets projected out is appropriate to the situation, to the environment. What gets projected back ends up being an entire picture as opposed to just, you know, one little image. And again, that's coming from the outer environment back to you. And the outer environment is going to have to constantly readjust its picture.
And so what we're talking about is very deep energy. And so again, the energy is so deep, that's why, as Ricardo started off this conversation, talking about when you first encounter a fifth line, all you get is a glimpse. And this can lead to a lot of misperceptions. I expected you to be this type of person, and it turns out that you're not. Because all you've got, you're basing, you know, we as humans tend to make assumptions, first impression, you know, the whole first impression thing.
Yep.
And we make leap to conclusions that, especially when you're dealing with a fifth line person, are probably not accurate or probably flawed.
Yeah, probably the best advice you can give somebody who's dealing with or getting to know a fifth line individual is just wait. Don't make assumptions, just wait. You'll see more as time goes on, but allow it to flow. Don't force it. Don't push this person into becoming something that they're not. Allow them to show you who they are through the appropriate situations and environments.
And again, so, you know, this is one of the things I love about human design, because this shows a real duality here. There's kind of a sharp edge here, because that, you know, that projection, having an encounter where somebody judges you or, you know, you misjudge somebody, you know, that has a sharp edge in terms of social interaction. Yet, as Ricardo said, if you can take the time and experience the depth and experience all the layers and find that facet in the diamond, you know, it's just it's a very beautiful thing. So it has a very beautiful side. It can have a painful side. It can have a not as easy side to it. But you know, again, to me, it's a very beautiful duality that the design brings.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's jump to the first line. And we're not going to spend nearly as much time talking about the first line, because I think that the first line is more basic. The first line, again, is the investigator. The first line, essentially, is looking for detail or looking for information or looking for skill to have foundation. The first line is driven to have this knowledge or this skill to have the foundation to do things, whether it's to teach, whether it's to talk to another person, whether it's to go on a trip. Again, with the 5-1, it's behind the scenes, so it may not be as obvious. It may come in a more subtle way. And Ricardo, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, actually, I think a really good example of the design side, line one, as you said, they're always trying to get to foundation. They're always, you know, everything's gotta have a place to go from. And this investigative nature, or this questioning nature, or curious nature, is always inwardly focused in terms of how does it affect me. But then again, being on the design side, it's innocent in its expression. It's not something that you do and you're necessarily aware that you do it. One of the ways that it can be expressed, especially in the 5-1, is when you're talking to somebody, a friend of yours or something like that, somebody you care about, and they happen to mention something that they are wanting to do, a class they want to get into or a program they want to participate in. Again, this is one of the things that a 5-1 might end up doing is they'll start asking questions. And some of those questions may actually get rather invasive in terms of, how well do you know the person, doing this class? How well do you know the person facilitating this program? How did you hear about this? It's not necessarily a way of digging at the other individual. But again, it's the investigation that says, how does this impact me? Well, it's somebody I care about, and they're talking about doing something that maybe my only association with that kind of, with that kind of situation is a cult. So I'm going to sit there and try to find out, what do you know about this? What do you really know about this? And how did you find out about it? And what's really drawing you into this? On the surface, it may appear that I'm being investigative, but not for myself. But when you look at the relationships there, it's how is this person getting involved with that program going to impact me? And that's not being selfish, but it is showing how the innocent expression of the investigator, the innocent energy of the investigator, could actually be coming out in ways that people don't even realize. Would I ask those kinds of questions of myself for a class that I wanted to sign up for? No, if I saw the name of class in a course catalog and said, this class sounds interesting, I might go and sign up for it. And I wouldn't bother asking those kinds of questions because I already know how it's going to impact me. It's going to be something that I'm going to be interested in and I may or may not utilize right away, but perhaps it's helping me to lay a foundation for something I want to do later. And there again, that's just the way that the energy itself may or may not appear in your conscious awareness until the friend that you're asking all these questions of turns around and says, would you lay off? Why are you grilling me? And then you realize, I didn't mean to do that. I was just curious. Just wanted to know.
and the one slipped out behind the from behind the curtain to front.
That's right.
And I like that example that you gave because, again, that showed the orientation that we were talking about, that the fifth line is looking at the other to obtain information that is then the first line is going to then internalize and say, that's how that affects me. Or, if I'm in that situation where a group invites me, now I have a more foundational information to assess them.
Right. And it could very well be, in turning it onto myself, it could very well be that I'm drawn to a particular class because that class will give me the foundation that I need to be able to pursue other things later. And in that sense, there again is the energy of the one, which is getting to foundation and being able to springboard from there.
Great. Okay, so we've talked about the fifth line and the first line, and we had some volunteers to come online, so I'm going to bring on two of the volunteers now, and we're going to take a look at the charts. Area code 218 and area code 315, you're on the air with Reverend Rick and myself, Peter Rowe. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And who do we have?
This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. And the other caller? Nancy, what's your area code?
218.
218. Okay. So let's take a look at Nancy's chart. Again, for you listeners out there, if you want to take a look at the charts, if you go to loveyourhumandesign.com, and click on the right-hand side on Peter's blog, and if once you click on that, up at the top, there'll be a Profile 5.1 article that you can click on the snowflake there, and it will bring you the full detail, and you can scroll down to Nancy's chart. So Nancy is a 5.1 profile. First, Nancy, you've been listening to the show so far. Did that resonate with you, what we were talking about with the 5.1 profile?
Yes, very much so.
And do you have you had the experience where you felt like you've been in a relationship, you know, with a friend or family member that they don't truly get you, that they haven't you haven't figured out the dance of the fifth line there?
Yes, I think so. I think, and then the layers or something like that, which you guys brought out, where people see certain aspects of you that they really didn't know before. I think they know you, and then they see things that, oops, here's another thing I didn't know.
Yep.
I think that makes itself evident quite often. And then the part where the learning part, I think, is really important to me, kind of investigating things, and I find that
Nancy, I'm looking at your chart here, and you just hit on something I wanted to ask you, and that is, now for you, it may actually be a little bit reversed in that you feel the energy of the one more often than you feel the energy of the five. And so you just started talking about the investigation and the getting to foundation, wanting to know, is that something that's been more prevalent for you, more in your conscious awareness than in the, you know, innocent background?
I would have to say that it is very part of my consciousness, that I do feel like I'm an investigator. I always want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's true that I want to know for my own, how it affects me in some ways. I don't need to know everything, but I want to know what's important to me and how that reflects to others. I do a lot of helping of others, and I think that that's, they interplay a lot.
And the reason I was saying that you would probably feel that energy much more consciously than most 5.1s is because when I look at your chart, you have in both your sun and your earth, the sun activates gate 20 and the earth activates gate 34. That's a complete channel. You have a complete channel in your chart activated by your profile line 1 or activated in your profile line 1. Whereas the personality side, the five side, is two individual gates, one of them being on a defined center and one of them not. Generally, defined channels will be felt much more consciously than just activated gates. And so for you, you have that 3420, the one going from the sacral straight on up to the throat. And that's basically all about, you know, powerful. Gate 34 on the sacral is the gate of power, and gate 20 on the throat is the gate of now. So it's all about being busy in the moment, but being busy probably investigating things that are going to be impactful to you personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I would add in, looking at your chart, Nancy, you also, off of the spleen, have the gate 48, which is depth and wanting to know details, depth about things. And you also, off of the ajna, up the second center down from the top, the triangle pointed downwards, right in the middle you have gate 24. And gate 24 is kind of, I call it the polishing gate sometimes. It wants to go over and over and over facts until it feels that either they're substantial or it modifies that fact or that process to something that's better. So those two gate energies in particular, in conjunction with your profile and in conjunction with the channel that Ricardo was talking about, the 3420, again, we're drawing together pieces of your chart that will add to that effect, will add to that aspect of you that wants to investigate and find that out to make you feel foundation.
Yeah, I certainly agree with all of that, as far as what I can see in myself anyway. So,
Ricardo, you want to add anything else about her design?
Just that, or actually a couple of things. Going back to your sun and earth activations, gate 29 in the sun, now that's your fifth line activation. But that comes up, if you're looking at your chart, the sacral is the red square, and gate 29 is the line that comes up off the top on the right-hand side.
Okay.
And that's known as the gate of saying yes. Now, because the sacral is the defined center in there, that's probably going to carry a little more weight for you than gate 30, although they both carry that fifth line energy. But gate 29, the gate of saying yes, this is all about entering into commitments and getting into commitments the right way, which, you know, for you would be by following your, well, for anybody, getting into commitments the right way is by following the strategy. And in particular, because it's a fifth line activation and it's in your profile, I would even say that you probably, before you actually get into a commitment, before you actually say yes to things, you don't just jump right in and on the spur of the moment say, yeah, I'll do that, maybe on occasion for some of the smaller things. But for anything that you consider to be a big decision, a big commitment, whether it's time or financial or emotional or whatever it happens to be, whatever that big commitment is for you, chances are you will, number one, investigate what impact it'll have on you, and number two, you'll probably take the time necessary to, and Peter, I can hear the wheels turning in your head too, but okay, you'll probably take the time necessary to really know that this is the right thing to enter into. Now, you've got two things, you know, I say take the time, you've got two things here that are instantaneous, actually three. The sacral voice is instantaneous. The spleen is all about being in the moment. And gate 20, as I said, in the throat is all about the now. So taking the time to make sure that this is the right thing for you to enter into, for you could very easily be a split second. But there's a conscious element to that split second that lets you know exactly what it is that you're committing to, and letting you know exactly whether or not you want to follow through with that. Would that be an accurate assessment?
Yes, I think so. But I do agree with the part that I need to know first before I can make that decision. But I click it off and then I say, okay, that I go with it. But yeah, I agree.
Peter, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I think that's a very great assessment of that. And so overall, Nancy, have you gotten yourself overcommitted at times by saying yes to too many things, or do you feel like you have a good balance on that?
In the past, I've done that, but I feel like I've learned to modify that so that I learned to say no. But I was a terrible yes person for a long, long time. But now I found where that got me, and so now I'm able to make a better decision in saying no occasionally.
And I'll even go one step further on that, Nancy. I'm sure that in your earlier days, you had a lot of people expecting you to say yes.
Oh, yeah,
sure. And therein lies that projection from the outer world. They're all thinking, oh, yeah, this is something you can handle. Sure, you should say yes to this. Meanwhile, you might say yes to it and instantly feel like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
And so, again, drawing back in a couple elements of your chart, the 24, the gate up in the ajna, going over and over those yeses that you said yes to that you couldn't follow through with or you really struggled to follow through with because you were overcommitted. And then down off the spleen on the lower side, you have the gate 18 correction, and it's about correcting logical process. You know, so you have over time the ability to review those yeses that you made that were successful and the yeses that you didn't, and be able to correct your process to at least get to a better state with that saying yes or no.
And just so that you'll know, that fifth line energy there, and I'm looking now in the book by Ra Uruhu, the Ray V Ching, the keynote for the fifth line on gate 29 is overreach, and the lesson to be learned is the tendency to bite off more than you can chew. And so as you noted, you know, you have been through that kind of life lesson. And so now you're at a point in your life where you can probably bring out the mature expression of that, which says, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore, and I can evaluate this in a better way now, so that I know whether or not it's appropriate for me to get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Cool beans. Thank you very much for sharing your chart with us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Very interesting. Okay, you guys have a good day.
You too. Okay, let's bring on another caller. Area code 323. You're on the air with Love Your Human Design.
It's me, Marina.
Hi, Marina. How are you?
Hi, I'm well.
And you've been listening to the show. How does this feel like it fits for you?
Well, I couldn't wait to get to me. I have to tell you because I kind of had an aha moment dealing with this issue of projection, which is very evident in my life and almost to the point that it's destabilizing. And I've always attributed it to my physical packaging of being a petite little blonde, and people only want to see me as the cute little cheerleader and not who I really am. And it's caused a lot of frustration and aggravation for me, and especially in the past 5 years, I've been in a pretty public role in my job, so I have to go to a lot of receptions, I have to speak at things, and I have to host a lot of receptions, and I come home absolutely frazzled and depleted, and I'm wondering how that relates to my human design chart.
Well, it definitely relates to your human design chart. I was going to say, as you were describing your experience, that, you know, maybe you could get your human design chart printed up as a license, and you could show that to people and say, you know, this is the real me. Just a little human design there, joke there. It shows up a lot in your chart. Probably the two biggest places is again, looking at your chart, you have an open identity center and you have an open solar plexus. And so with both of those centers, let's start with the identity center. The identity center is really about your soul, is really where your soul shines through. And so to have people project back onto you that, you know, hey, Marina, you're supposed to be the cheerleader, in that imagery, which it sounded like in your discussing, that's not the real you, then one, that is, it's painful in a way, because you know that's not the real you. And secondly, they're actually, being an open center, it can take on that energy that's being sort of forced back on it. So that can definitely deplete you. The second place that you can really be influenced by that is the open solar plexus. Again, it's the emotional center, and you have four gates off of that, so you do have emotional energy, but you don't have a defined emotional wave. And so being in those public events like a reception where there's a lot of energy, emotional energy going on, you're passing through all those auras of people that might be emotionally up, emotionally down. Probably at a reception, there's probably typically high energy, so there's probably a lot of up energy. And, you know, with any open center, you're not defined to carry that kind of energy long term. And so, again, when you come home from an event like that, you basically have to release that energy. And, you know, and it's taxing on the physical body. And so, you know, overall, you have 7 open centers out of 9. So you're a very open, empathic design. in any of those centers, you can be taking on energy. And Ricardo, you probably want to add the root center in there, I'm guessing.
Actually, no. I was going to go in a totally different direction.
Well, go for it.
What I'm going to say may sound a little strange to you, Marina, but I'm going to say if you're coming home drained from all of that, then that's a good thing. Because number one, as Peter was saying, you're releasing all of that built-up energy. Remember, the open centers take in and amplify the energy around them. And so what you're doing is you're releasing all of that energy. Once you get around, once you get away from being around all those people, you're releasing all of that energy, and it's going to feel like a, you know, like somebody turning on a faucet, and all of that energy is just going to be released from your body. But the other aspect of that is you're a generator. You have that powerful sacral motor in your body. You are designed to use that energy. That's the energy for work and for creating life and for doing what needs to be done. It's sustainable work and life force energy, but it's also your body's battery. So it's designed to replenish overnight so that when you wake up, you have the energy to open your eyes, get up out of bed, and do whatever you need to do. But it's also designed to be worn out by the time you go to bed. It's designed to be energy that you use up throughout the day until you recharge at night.
Well, I do sleep a lot.
Well, and part of it may be if you have an exceptionally stressful day, for instance, perhaps you're, you know, one of the transits is activating one of the four gates on your solar plexus, so you're going to experience that emotional energy a lot stronger that day. You know, that, as Peter said, that can have a physical toll on the body as well, and the open root and everything else as well. But let's say that you know, you do a half a day kind of lecture circuit or whatever, and you come back home and you're just completely depleted. It's not a bad thing to just go ahead and take a nap. That means that for that day, you've used up a lot more of the sacral energy than you normally do, and you just need a quick recharge. And it would be okay to go ahead and take a nap, as long as you let yourself be okay with using that kind of energy the way it's meant to be used. Then you can understand that, okay, when I come home at night and I'm tired, that means it's time for me to rest. I shouldn't be forcing myself to stay up long enough to get a second wind. What I should do is allow myself to rest so that I can build up the energy so that I can go back and do anything else that I might need to do before I actually lay my head down to sleep all night.
Yeah, I do that. I'm actually very good at that. What upsets me is that I think that I'm feeling what people think that I am, and somehow, maybe because I have all these open centers, I'm thinking that I have to fulfill their projection, so I feel like I'm always acting instead of being who I am,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm okay with it, but sometimes I'm not, and so I don't know if that's the healthiest way for me to be, to try to fill people's expectations of who I am.
Well, and actually, you brought us right back to the profile discussion, so thank you for that. What a great lead-in. And that fifth-line projection is exactly what you're talking about right there. Yes, this is what other people think of you. Now, the thing for you to understand, though, is it important to you to have them think that, or is it more important for you or to you to have them know who you really are?
Well, I mean, my experience so far has been that people aren't really accepting of who I really am, getting back to the whole heretical of I am, you know, politically active and I'm involved in issues that I find I'm very passionate about, but others find to be controversial. And they feel that's a disconnect of my personality, but to me it's very much part of who I am.
It truly is. It truly is. Just looking at your chart, your gate 24 in your sun, personality sun, that's your line 5 there. Believe it or not, gate 24 is the gate of rationalizing. Okay, it's part of the knowing circuit. Its energy comes in pulses, you know, it's on again, it's off again, that kind of stuff. But line 5, when it comes to rationalizing, what is the mature expression of rationalizing? Well, rationalizing in line 5 is known as confession. It's the courage to admit the mistakes of the past. It's the ability to move past them. It's the ability to say, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I still believe in this, and I'm still going to stand up for it. And not only that, but both of your first line profile gates for the sun and the earth, the 13 and the 7, both of those are on your identity center, and they are both directional gates. They both relate to direction for humanity, the collective. And so really what's going to happen is you're going to take that rationalizing energy, you're going to take that fifth line profile energy of rationalizing and letting people know, I make mistakes, but this is what I believe and this is where it's taking me. And you can show them the direction that you're going in because you've already researched it, you've already done the investigating that says to you, this is the direction it'll take me in, and I want others to see it, I want others to follow it. And depending on how you approach it, the 7 is one type of leadership energy, the 13 is another type of leadership energy. Depending on how you approach it, though, both of them will be appropriate because both of them, with that first line foundational energy, both of them are starting off from the right place. The only thing that's needed is the center to be activated. In other words, you just need the energy to flow into that G center, generally from your environment, from your surroundings, from people you're with. It'll fill it all up. And then that first line energy for the 7 and the 13 will just find its natural expression through that.
That was very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Marina, I would add that and for anybody that has as many open centers as you do, that any kind of visualization that you can do that, you know, because essentially you want to take in energy through those open centers to experience it, but you don't want to own it, as Ricardo was saying before. And, you know, you don't want to take it home at night. And so any kind of visualization that you can do, you know, putting on a cape or putting on a suit of armor or putting on, some people use visualize a clear egg or a golden egg that surrounds their body, that basically allows them to be empathetic to that energy but not own it, can be helpful in not having the energetic swings be either as impacting in the moment or as long-lasting once you get out of that energy. Any kind of visualization that you can do, you know, maybe before you go in these receptions, will help you preserve your own energy in those situations.
Okay, thank you. That's wonderful.
And Peter, I'd even add the one that Karen taught us, which is be a screen and not a sponge. Know that this energy is going to flow through you and allow it to do so, but don't hold on to it.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen. Very helpful.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Well, our time is up. Actually, we're a little bit past time, but we've lost the live audience, but we still have the callers on the line. And I apologize, we didn't get Laura on the phone this time, but perhaps on another show we can bring her back. So I'd like to thank you for being here on the 5-1 Profile. Ricardo, I'd like to thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Peter.
And again, this has been... we've been talking about the 5-1 Profile, loveyourhumandesign.com to find more information. Marina, if you're interested, there's also a radio show out there on the Open Identity Center that may be helpful for you.
Okay, thank you. I will check that out.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll be back next week with another show. Until then, I'm your host, Peter Rowe. Be well and live your design.